He is one of the longest-serving governors in American history, a two-time presidential candidate, a top-rated Fox News Channel host, and all of that before being known as Sarah's dad. Governor Mike Huckabee, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, happy weekend to you. Hope it's going to be an enjoyable one for you. One of the things I love to do as time permits is to check in with my next guest, Governor Mike Huckabee, one of the longest serving governors in American history. And he also happens to be the, I think, the only man who's held that position while being while also attaining the incredible title of father of the press secretary, who may now also be the father of the future governor. Governor Huckabee, and sometimes just because you and Sarah are so talented at what you do, you're getting, pegs in history you didn't even know you were going to have.
Basically, these days, Kevin, I'm just simply known as Sarah's dad. That's my only biographic information anymore.
And Grandpa.
And that's a great one. I don't mind either one of them.
Yeah, no, I got you there. And it's good. It's always good to talk to you. Hey, I noticed that yesterday the Supreme Court handed down another 9-0 kind of smackdown of the administration. And for Sonia Sotomayor and for Kagan and for Breyer to be voting, and I don't know if you've kept track, Governor, but I think this is the 7th or 8th case they've decided 9-0 in this short year so far. I mean, I know that Trump had a record number of 9-0 cases go in his favor. I've never seen this many go kind of against liberal orthodoxy. But my goodness, what do you make of the Supreme Court and what they're doing these days?
It truly is remarkable. There's been speculation that even some of the liberal justices are trying to show some pushback against this nutty idea of packing the court, which is really not packing as much as it is expanding it, thinking that if they could just get a few more liberal justices, it would always swing their way, this proving that it wouldn't. But I don't think that's really what's happening. I think that if you look at these decisions, they're being made with a very indisputable understanding that the Constitution really does say some things about religious liberty. Yeah. That's the big takeaway here, is that if you look at the First Amendment and take it for what it actually says, you cannot come to a conclusion that says that the government can infringe upon the belief system of a group of people just because that belief system is out of step with a trendy thought or a new custom, something that does not have any particular governmental necessity. So people like you and me who really feel like that religious liberty has been hammered for the past 60 years, we're looking at this and saying, wow, who would have ever thought that you'd have Sotomayor and some of these very liberal judges on the same side as Sam Alito? But thank God they are.
I am a little bit shocked and ashamed of myself that I didn't know more about this. But I was talking with Arthur Idala, celebrated criminal trial attorney here in New York last week. And he was telling me, I think we were off air at the time, but he was telling me that when Ginsburg and Scalia were at their most opposite ends of decisions, that they still agreed on about 62-65% of the cases that came before them, and that was the widest disparity between any two justices on the court. And I don't know if that's for all of history, but at least it was for the Scalia-Ginsburg era. Like they were, you know, but that still said to me that better than 6 out of 10 times, those perspectives where they came from, as disparate as they might be, they were still going to side fundamentally on sound constitutional ideas more times than not. And to me, and that's held over into this court, certainly, because you've got all of these kind of unanimous decisions that have been so overwhelming. But that's a degree of comfort for me that I had not taken away. I've always been very court activist minded in terms of my encouragement on air. But to think that with as wide of a gap as the far left and the far right had on the court, and that they still 60% of the time, what we're going to say that they agreed on what the outcomes should be of a case, should be something that the American people do take heart in.
I hope they do. There have been some disastrous court cases, the same-sex marriage case. Even if you think same-sex marriage was something we should have done. I thought that the dissenting opinions in that pointed out the fallacy that the court used to get there, in that they had to make something up. So I was troubled by many of the court's decisions. The Obamacare decision, I thought both times it's come up, has been wrong because it is a tax. That's what they kind of looked around and worked around. But on decisions like that, it was very troubling. And it seemed like the court was being political rather than constitutional. But then they have decisions like this one and some other ones that have been, as you've mentioned, 9-0. And it's refreshing and inspiring.
Yeah.
And you're thinking maybe there's hope for the court. There's not much hope for Congress, but maybe the court is waking up and realizing they have to tap the brakes on some of the runaway stuff that the federal government wants to do.
Well, of course, the long term, and you and I talked about this while he was in office, I think the long term gift that the Trump administration gave to the legacy of America was those 300 judges and justices that he got approved, because that did shape the judiciary at multiple levels in different ways. And the other thing I was thinking, I mean, obviously Roe and Obergefell and Obamacare, those were disappointments. But I'm glad it was just encouraging to me that even in the midst of sometimes where I lose heart and say, man, everything's going crazy. This year, with all the times they slapped down Cuomo and Newsom and Whitmer in the overreach of the governors trying to redefine, you know, what religious expression could look like. And they lost, those governors lost on everything. There wasn't a single case that came to the higher court that they didn't back religious liberties on. So I don't know. It's a little more encouraging than what I thought we were going to be this early into the Biden administration. And Lord knows we've got enough other things to worry about without maybe having some court anxiety. Let me ask you real quickly, the idea that and there's a lot of talk about this still in the blue states, that you're going to have governors tell kids that they have to wear masks going back to school this fall. I'm just curious your reaction to that.
I hope there'll be lawsuits filed and scientific evidence that will show that, especially with children, masks can prove to be more dangerous than they are a help. Because these kids don't know how to wash their hands, and if they do, they don't do it. My own grandkids are great examples, walking around with filthy hands and then constantly touching their mask. And in Gainesville, Florida, a group of parents took their children's mask after they had worn them for the day, sent them to a lab for tests, and when the test results came back, it was a disgusting revelation that there was all kinds of bacteria and fecal material, everything imaginable that you would never want to be sucking into your nose and mouth. And these kids, by having it on their mask, had it literally pressed against their face inhaling it and ingesting all of this bacteria. So it was a great reminder that this thing about masks is not our great salvation, and in fact could be doing real damage, especially when kids are trying to exercise, makes it harder for them to breathe.
Yeah.
They're not so susceptible to getting COVID, but when you stick germs right up their nostrils and all kinds of bacteria, they're going to get sick.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And that's not even to mention the developmental markers for speech and other things that they need to be able to see and you know, understand how their mouth operates. Hey, real quickly, thanks for your perspective on all that. What you got on the big weekend this week?
Going to be a great show. John Voight's going to be with us, Oscar-winning actor, one of the few real conservatives who are outspoken in Hollywood, and he's also a strong friend of Israel. He's been to Israel with me on several occasions, and he's just a great guy and humble, and people are going to enjoy the conversation we have with John Voight this weekend.
Right. That's Saturday and Sunday, 8 and 11 p.m. If you miss it, you can always get the replay and go to the TBN website. You can also see segments there as well. Governor Huckabee, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Kevin.